even as a tadpole, Viss is gaunt and scrawny, leading him to be relentlessly tormented for his slender frame and gangly arms. Bait, his school called him. Fish sticks. They laugh and swim away, and he could never keep up. Thox has a plan for you, as it does for all, his mother comforts him. But even she seems unconvinced while looking down at the scrawny Iju boy. And scrawny he remains as he grows into a young chum. He works hard and has real talent for his job as a cave carver, but a cloud of disapproval and resentment follows him everywhere. So convinced was Viss that he was a mistake, a disgrace to this glorious Iju city of Thon, that he even stopped attending the great lotteries. There was no chance Thox would pick him for the sacred duty, so why attend week after week just to be reminded of his failures? Which is why he was home nursing a tartar beer when there was a thump at the door. Armed guards loom in the doorway to greet him, a small crowd formed behind them.
Citizen! Why do you forego the glory of Thox?
Viss recognizes his former schoolmates, who size him up. They look relieved that Viss was still not a threat.
Is this some sort of joke?
Viss asks warily.
You won the great lottery. You are to report to the Grand Colosseum immediately. Do you dishonor your sacred duty?
The guards grip their spears, ready to pounce.
Of course not. I will fight for the glory of Thox.
The guards look simultaneously relieved and bemused. Sometime later, Viss reflects on that expression of relief and bemusement on the face of his former schoolmate as he stands in the center of the Grand Colosseum. It wasn't the expression the same schoolmate had now, as Viss grabs the back of his opponent's head and tears it off their shoulders. Viss raises his prize to the roaring Grand Colosseum crowd, who chant in unison, Thox! 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 After all this time, Viss's scrawny and gangly build proved a boon, not a curse. 15 flawless victories made Viss a sensation. Swift, fearless, his long reach quickly dispatches both fellow Iju and Beast with brilliant showmanship. But Thox will someday claim all its warriors. And so, after 6 long years, and the massive snake Mula wrapped around his body, Viss looks up one last time at the Temple of Thox and smiles. He found his purpose after all.
Last time on Questies! The old Questies continued on the trail to France and uncovered a massive underground city which has been ransacked by its very inhabitants, the Pale Orange Fish People. A culture obsessed with gore and violence, a grand colosseum lays in the center of the ruined city, where Valna has begun to cast her spell on the crushed skeleton of a gladiator. I'm Garrett, the Dungeon Master, joined by Eno,
the esteemed paladin Turgid Glowerskell,
Ro,
Kitty Chlamydia, elf ranger, and her wolf companion Nibbles,
Jules,
Jill Scorny was war chief of the Subatide,
and Grady,
Barrel Broad Chest, dwarf bard.
And this is Questies!
What a heartwarming thing.
Heartwarming tale.
Of murdering everyone.
Of murdering everyone. Decapitating his former tormentors.
I want to cast animate objects on Viss's skeleton.
All right.
So, what is the size of Viss?
He's medium, I think.
He's medium. Okay, so I can do 10 objects at once, and since he's kind of crushed, I'm not going to say that I have 10 little fighting bone things. He is a skeleton made out of his 10 largest pieces that are all magically together as one medium skeleton that can...
That is horrible and terrible and awful.
Something tells me that Viss would actually love this, though. Mm-hmm. All right, so an animated Viss skeleton wearing still battle armor and holding a sword in one of his... I guess he probably only has one arm because 10 is not quite enough bones. The spinal
yeah,
column...
It depends on how crushed he is.
He's pretty crushed. I'd say he has one arm that has a sword and 2 legs and a spinal column with some of his rib cage intact and a skull. That's just sort of what you can gather. And now you have this fish skeleton beast.
His name is Viss.
It sure
it
is.
It was and it will be.
And you look behind you and you recognize from the vision that the Temple of Thox is to the north of the Colosseum, directly behind you. What do you do?
Can I try to use my senses to see if Frantz is in the temple?
Sure.
Do I still have advantage on survival check?
I'll just say you have advantage whenever you're tracking this guy.
What'd you get?
13.
It seems like you've found him. He's in the temple.
Okay. I mean, should we just go to the temple?
Yeah, that seems like the reasonable thing to do. Trying to teach the Vis skeleton how to do a fist bump, but it's pretty stupid.
Follow me, friends. Franz is this way.
Onward.
I follow.
I'm going to keep my longbow out and ready, just in case.
Okay. So you approach the doorway to this temple, and on it is there's a locked giant door. There's like an emblem in the door. Mm-hmm. So someone's going to have to try to decipher what it says based on their experience in the city so far.
Is it made out of stone?
Yeah, it's chiseled.
Oh, right.
Is it in any particular language?
It's their language.
Oh.
And you learn from that they call themselves Iju.
I don't know the Iju language, but I know a heck of a lot about stone.
Yeah, whoever wants to try to make a case to roll something, maybe it would be a history check?
Yeah, that's what stone cutting checks for. So I will approach this door, I'll rub my cheek on it, I'll taste it a little bit,
yeah.
Just really understand what the chiseler was coming from when... he or she or they chiseled this emblem. So that is a 3 plus 14 is 17.
Through pure luck, you're able to discern that it says, "Give Thox what it wants." And there's in the face of this wall, it looks kind of like a door, but it also looks just like a wall. You're not sure how it opens. Is a little alcove. Of just like a bowl shape below, and there's an Iju symbol that is pointing towards this little bowl.
I think I know what Thox wants. You still got that rat yelts?
Spit it out.
Here you go.
It's the most bloodthirsty rat you've ever held in your hands.
I'm gonna,
or your mouth, I assume.
I throw it to Kitty.
Okay.
I'm gonna use my rapier, I guess, to like sort of slit its little rat throat and squeeze its blood into that bowl.
Just wring it out like a rag.
Just out of the air?
Sure. Brutal. All right. You do that, and the blood seeps into a little hole in the bottom of the bowl, and then the Colosseum floor shakes. And the area in front of the structure to the north begins to sink into the sandy ground. I assume you're standing on this, so you're going to have to jump backwards.
Okay.
Below your feet. It forms a stairwell leading down, which opens into a hidden chamber.
Wow.
So you guys jump to either side, Kitty and Nibbles, as this sank into the ground, the stairwell. Inside this chamber is a circular pool which reminds you of a throne. And floating above this on the throne is a pulsating purple eyeball.
Ooh.
It is otherworldly, like nothing you have ever seen before, and the iris glances you up and down. A pool of Gripthox lies below it and flows through channels in the temple chamber. Kneeling next to this throne is the only other figure in the room, a bespectacled dragonborn man dressed in Ada Academy robes. He is tall and wide, with red scales and a short snout. He looks older for a dragonborn, weathered, and is holding a long, ornately decorated staff. He turns towards you.
Ah, hello. You have found me.
Franz throws up his airs in mocking surrender.
Oh, this is awkward.
well met, friend.
Hello. Oh, Valna. Wow, you found me. Meet our new friend.
Doesn't look like much of a friend to me, buddy.
Oh, I wouldn't say so either, but you got to, you know, if you can... I don't know. I'm kind of weird. what are you guys doing in town?
We were looking for you.
Yeah, where have you been?
I've been here studying our new friend.
Is this eyeball? That's your friend?
Yeah. Who else? I'm here alone.
Do you talk to the eyeball?
Where's the rest of your team?
Okay.
Oh, the jig is up, I guess. And then, just then, the earth beneath your feet rumbles again, and there's like a big earthquake, and you actually struggle to stand.
Oh, that was a hot one. Somebody's getting very, very bored. Don't worry, we got to get to the good stuff soon. Valna! I'm so excited you came to join me. Dungeon Delvers forever!
And he's gonna roll back his robe, and you can see he has tattooed on his arm the word Dungeon Delvers in, like, calligrapher script. And Valna's gonna be like, I was worried sick about you, Franz. And she's going to roll back her own sleeve. And she also has a tattoo that says Dungeon Delvers on her.
Well, what are you waiting for, Velna? I've been waiting for you here. You must do your crazy divination magic on this guy.
So the eye just sort of like nervously glances at each one of you. And Velna approaches it.
I'm going to point my bow and arrow at it, but not shoot it just yet.
Okay.
Turgid wants to do Divine Sense again to detect Celestials, Fiends, or Undead within 60 feet of me.
Sure. You don't find anything, but this room is extremely holy to the Iju race.
Okay.
Who and civilization. So this is like, I think you found what they were sort of fighting for.
Is that eyeball right. Making my aberration sense go bonkers?
Oh, yeah.
This is the aberration we've been looking for. Velna, be careful.
I'll do my best, but I think this is why we came here. We must learn more about this thing, and it doesn't look particularly dangerous on its own.
Velna, god damn it, be careful.
Velna, be careful. Things are very strange here, and I think that it may all rest right before us. Do not rush in. Stay behind me. I do not trust your friend, and I do not trust floating eyeballs by default.
You don't trust me? Ah, this guy, he was always such a stickler.
Franz, how long have you known this this eyeball?
We just met a couple weeks ago.
Where did you meet?
Here, silly. He doesn't really go anywhere.
Does the eyeball have anything to do with your 6 missing compatriots?
Listen. We talk later. I've been waiting for Velna to get here so she could do her history.
Turgid wants to make an insight check on Franz.
Sure.
11.
Yeah, you don't totally trust him, but you don't know why. I mean, I guess you know why. He's acting like a nutbag.
Yeah.
He's not acting normal, and that's weird. But Velna seems like intent on learning the history of this thing since she is an academic, and this is her old friend. Velna does seem to trust him. So she's going to start preparing her her divination. So if everybody wants to roll a d20 to help her, you also don't have to, but it's up to you.
I want to make an insight check on Velna.
Sure.
15.
You have a long and close relationship with Velna,
mm-hmm.
And you know that while she is a good person, she does seem to put her academic studies above everything else, including her interpersonal relationships and sometimes her safety, which is why I think you have such a protective relationship with her. This is something that no one has ever seen before. I mean, the Iju were weird, but like they look like they belonged to the realm. This thing looks mm-hmm. like it's floating in the air. Its iris is darting back and forth. It looks like it's not really completely material. It could be partially ethereal. You're not completely sure about it, and it's also floating above Gripthox. So she is completely curious about it and is maybe being a little reckless.
All right, Turgid will cast Sanctuary on Velna once again.
Okay, well, why don't we do in order? Everybody do your things, and then that can be your move.
Okay, sure.
So everybody want to roll a d20?
I got an 18.
5.
9.
16.
Okay, so first up is Jeltz. Do you want to help? And if so, how?
Yeah, I'm going to try to intimidate Velna into not going so close to this thing.
All right.
Velna, you fool, blinded by your curiosity. Don't you see this thing as a danger? There's a city of dead fish people out there. And your friend is clearly insane. I got an 11.
So, yeah, I will award you a point, and she's going to take a step backward from this thing and say, Jeltz, you may be brash, but sometimes you do think things through, so I appreciate it for knocking some sense into me. And you get one research point.
Hooray.
Turgid eyes Jeltz with a mean look.
Is it Jeltz or Yeltz, by the way?
Jeltz, I guess.
You pronounced it Jeltz at first. Grady started saying Yeltz, and now everybody else is saying Yeltz. And I'm sticking to Jeltz, because that was the first one. God damn it, y'all.
Well, excuse my dwarvish accent.
Yeah, I think Beryl should still call him Yeltz, though. Kitty, what's your idea?
I guess I'll do a survival check again to try to size up what sort of threat this thing is.
Right. You're trying to place it on the animal kingdom.
And based on what, like, my aberration senses are telling me and what we've seen so far and what we've figured out so far, like, just to try to satisfy some of her curiosity so we can GTFO.
Okay.
7 plus 7, 14.
14?
Yep.
All right, you get 2 points for that. And you, again, this is, it's helpful in its unhelpfulness, but you're like, I've literally never seen anything like this in my entire life. And I've seen every creature, every plant. The Iju did not surprise you one bit. You may have even seen them in your travels in the Underdark from time to time, but this is not even a creature that you understand whatsoever. This does not seem like it's from Denaria. And that would make sense with everything you've learned so far. So that's what you do. And Beryl, what do you do?
You must be a comet creature, you're saying.
Yep.
Franz, have you ever spoken with this eye?
I'll never tell.
Of course. Hello, eyeball. Do you understand me?
It looks at you, and it kind of spins.
I try it again in Dwarvish.
Nope.
Okay.
it's just staring directly at you. Again, actually, underneath your feet, there's a minor tremor.
Okay. What were the checks that we did? I wasn't keeping track of that.
Intimidation and survival.
Oh, I'm gonna recount all of the religious tomes that I've read in my bardic studies and see if this thing has been referenced in any mythology from any culture that I'm familiar with.
Sure.
I got an 8 on that one.
An 8, huh?
Yeah.
You'll get a point for that, though.
Cool.
So you get one research point for that, and you learn that it is. I think you actually did this earlier to figure out that the Iju worship this thing. And you know that, like, even though it's relatively unknown, you've heard tell from beings outside of Denaria, which most bards in the Bard School think that's all bullshit, but you guys love a good story.
We sure do.
But you think this is something that actually has touched down on other realms in the multiverse. And Turgid, you're up next, right?
Yep. Turgid's going to cast Sanctuary on Valna as she casts that spell and basically just play bodyguard, because that is Turgid's role. Probably be standing right next to Valna as this is all going on, with the sword at the ready, kind of like ready to attack whatever needs to be attacked, whether it be the eye or Franz.
All right, the eyeball sort of watches you as you climb down the stairs and get in front of Valna.
I watch it back.
What kind of check do you think? Like, this is up to you. Like, you can do your spell modifier again if you want.
Yeah, I guess that is like what would make the most sense. I kind of forgot about the paladin side of Turgid. Turgid's an intensely religious person. It'd be interesting to do a religion check.
Maybe you can call down Osha's protection for Valna. That's what sounds like Sanctuary is doing, is you're calling your god.
Yeah. So let's do a Sanctuary with a religion check. Yeah, pretty good. 21.
21. All right, you get 2 points.
Yeah.
You get 2 research points. Valna once again feels secure, and you have the eminence of Osha surrounding her, so she feels like she can get a little bit closer, but not feel like she's being reckless.
Do I hear Osha's voice?
Osha's voice comes down and says, "This one seems scary, Turgid. Be careful."
"Thank you, fair Osha. I will not be climbing any ladders today, and I will always wear my helmet."
"I've never seen this particular workplace hazard, but I would do the most carefulness around it. But I'll allow it, young Turgid."
"Thank you, Osha. Your grace has blessed me."
Once again, a vision flashes before all of your eyes.
After Valna casts her divination spell, rather than a story, a beam of pure, unfiltered information penetrates into your consciousness. The rush is overwhelming, bringing each of you to your knees. You first understand that this purple eye stalk has no thoughts or feelings of its own. It possesses no sense of self. It is simply a psychic probe with one singular purpose: to observe and broadcast. This is why you don't experience a story, but instead a rush of information, because it is this creature's singular motive to observe and broadcast information back to where it was born. Not born, you learn, but created. Where? Not in this realm, the realm of Denaria, but far, far away. It broadcasts up into the night sky, beyond the dark nothingness, what the wizards called the Aether Realm, or space. In some unknowable and boundless distance away exists a realm where this creature was created in a laboratory, along with countless others, by a race of advanced aliens. On this other world, you see monumental golden cities, bigger and taller than anything in Denaria. You see unfathomable technology, unlike anything you've ever seen. And most important of all, a military might that could crush the greatest army Denaria could muster in the blink of an eye. And everywhere among this civilization, you see glowing projections playing out for all to see. The projections exist in the sky, on buildings, in people's homes, on small rectangles in their hands, all displaying the same images. You see in these projections the pale orange fish people, the Iju, in their grand coliseum, fighting to the death for the glory of Thox. And from that, you understand. The iStock is sending these projections to these cities. Their psychic projections are serving as entertainment to this futuristic populace. And then you understand Gripthox, similar to the iStocks, but serving another purpose. Gripthox gives a push to unwilling participants in their games and blood sports. Itself a living creature, but incapable of thought with no sense of self, Gripthox also possesses only a single directive: to infect and cause aggression, and to enhance living and dead tissue to create monsters and death for the amusement of these otherworldly patrons. In this alien world, you see a station with massive golden cannons firing gargantuan capsules into the dark space above. Inside the station, these capsules are loaded with Gripthox and iStocks. The iStock before you now once rode within one thousands of years ago, hurling through space and crashing into Denaria, creating the great crater sea that you now explore below. From the impact, you see an endless pool of Gripthox seep into the bedrock beneath Denaria, infecting to its core. You see the Iju people discover a sarcophagus holding the iStocks. The village elders understanding its purpose and what they must do to survive. First using fights with the bloodthirsty Zisticus, sacrificing their bravest warriors to the spider, and eventually erecting the Grand Colosseum in their city in an attempt to keep their new overseers pleased with bloody entertainment. And finally, you can see how the great Iju Gladiator Vis was a fan favorite, and how his death at the mercy of the giant snake was poorly received by those watching an unfathomable distance away. How the Iju could not recover the favor of what they called Thox. How Gripthox was released upon the great Iju city, and how the resulting massacre was broadcast to the stars. The vision ends, and the cold, unblinking purple iStock stares back at each of you.
Franz is gonna pop in and say,
"So see, this is not some great and powerful being. Ooh, it's just a probe that is sending back these visions, you see. The Iju Fishmans were kind enough to get it entertained, but it looks like they were cancelled. Uh-oh."
Womp womp, Fishman.
Just to be clear with you guys, like, it didn't look like Earth. It looked like something else, but it did look like people were watching movies projected into the sky. And it looked like it satiated their thirst for blood, whatever these humanoid creatures are.
Oh, interesting.
Was watching stuff in the Colosseum.
So it's like some sort of space race that, like, this thing is the camera and it wants... Isn't this Ratchet and Clank?
I don't know. I've never played that, but it sounds
I'm pretty sure that's the plot of one of the Ratchet and Clank games that Grady has. That
I believe you, because I'm stealing the plot of, like, 900 things at once. I feel like...
Yeah, show me what you got.
I'm stealing the plot of a Rick and Morty episode, and...
Yeah, that Ratchet and Clank game is just stealing the plot of Running Man.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is absolutely Interstellar Running Man.
Yes. All right, that's awesome. I'm all about it. It's great. Yeah.
So this eye itself is not anything special. It is a tool used by this place way out within space. So, what do you guys think?
That is fucked up.
I know, right?
There is nothing safe about this, and I cannot stand for it.
Yeah, how do we know who's watching?
These people are very, very smart, and we can learn many things from them. So, I was thinking, perhaps we could, you know, do some things to help them out, and they could help us out in becoming much smarter and much cooler.
When you say do some things to help them out, does that give me some clues what happened to your team here, Franz?
Well, yes, I came here for the old squad.
She remembers the rest of the dungeon jelvers. Valda remembers. She remembers the fancy noble Elwyn Cuthbert, the broody wild Ashwood, and the grungy Malin Dagalar. And who can forget the bickering Vogel twins? You know the two of them want to go by Moonwing and Sun Talons these days? So edgy. Ooh. Sad. You just miss them. They just left.
Oh, they left?
Yeah, they're not here. Can you see them? I do not see them. He lifts up a little rock on the ground. He's like, oh, they're not here. I don't see them. Oh. Oh,
you must be a detective, Franz.
So you didn't sacrifice them to the eyeball?
Oh, no, of course not. Who else would become the dungeon masters? You know, the dungeon delvers was cool and all, but this means much more important. So you cannot go by the dungeon delvers no anymore. So how about the dungeon masters? So got a nice ring to it, no? We are going to keep the show running. So you may have to be bad and do some bad stuff, but oh well, that is the price, I guess. I mean, did you see those cities?
Franz, put your hands behind your head. You are under arrest by the decree of the Order of OSHA. In the name of occupational safety, you are coming with me.
Oh. Wait, let's maybe hear him out, Turgid.
Beryl, I don't really hear people out when it comes to my god.
Alright, sure. I guess, are you trying to grab him and subdue him?
Absolutely, yeah, grappling, totally.
Okay, cool. I got an 18 acrobatics check.
That sucks, because I got a 12 strength check.
I slipped through your fingers, Turgid. You are never so fast on your fingers. And he runs over to behind the eye.
God.
This is definitely my favorite NPC I've ever done. And he's going to say, look, you guys, we don't really have much of a choice here. This guy here, he's the cameras, they make a show, you know. And, well, if we don't put on a show, they will kill us, so.
So Kitty's gonna say, wait, when you say if they don't like what we do, they'll kill us, do you mean us in the room or us all of Denaria?
What do you think I mean? Do you think I mean just a couple of us? I mean all of Denaria. You saw those guys. Crazy.
This is inhumane. Turgid is going to channel divinity to use sacred weapon on their weapon, which makes it gives it +1 to attack, makes it magical, and stab it right into the eye.
All
right,
while you do this, Valna's going to say, wait. So you tell me if you listen to her or not.
No.
Okay, roll an attack on the eye.
Yeah. That's going to be 26.
You want to do damage with it?
Yeah. 9?
Yeah, you slice through this thing, and even though it's otherworldly, it does not otherworld past your blade. And you slice a big chunk off this floating eye, and it kind of goes, Franz is going to be like, oh, jeez, you stunned now. You know that's not him, right? That's just a stupid camera. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, man, you guys. Valna, what do you think? What do you think about all this? You are the voice of reason, yeah? And here's the part where your research points are going to come into handy. So Valna is 50-50 here. Mm. So I want each one of you to use your research points. The research points are literally a weight of how much Valna trusts you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so you can make your cases to her about what you think you should do in this situation, like what your next steps are. And it's like literally entirely up to you.
Gotcha.
This whole arc is like what you guys decide as a group, and Valna trusts you and looks to you as her advisors. So you can each make your cases to her. I think Turchin's already made theirs. Franz is going to say, so you wish me or no? Do you want to be part of the Dungeon Masters or do you want to be part of the end of life on Denaria as we know it? Roll for initiative, but use how many research points you've gotten so far as a modifier.
15.
16.
18.
24.
All right, so Kitty, you get to go first. And Valna looks to you first and says, Kitty, what? Sorry.
That's a good impersonation, Valna.
Valna's going to look to Kitty and say, what do you think? What do we do? I'm not sure.
Well, Valna, this is super fucked up, but I can't just say that we gotta kill all of Denaria. We can't do that. We gotta try to save everyone. If it means a few fucking fish people or whatever, I guess, have to die sometimes, then that's what we gotta do. Otherwise, it's genocide. So, you know, the greater good, Valna. So, yeah, I mean, I don't feel good about this, but it's what I've gotta say.
All right, roll a d20 and use the amount of research points you have total as a modifier.
16 plus 7 is 23.
All right, we got 23 on the join the DMs. And next on the list is, I believe, yes, Turgid is next.
Valna, look around you. Does this look like a saved people? This will happen to the rest of Denaria. I'm not afraid of them. We will stand and we will fight and we will be strong and we will be united as one. We will not be destroyed piecemeal like the Iju. This is not a future for us. We are stronger, and Osho will watch over us and make sure that we are properly outfitted and the guardrails are in place when we go to war against these foul demons.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so same thing. Just roll a d20 with your modifier that is equal to your research points.
Okay. Oh, that is a 19 plus 9 is 28.
28 in the fight back category. All right, up next is Jeltz.
Velna, I didn't live this long. I didn't get to this position by taking fights that I knew I couldn't win. This is a fight that I don't think we can win. And I personally have nothing against a little blood sport. I think that these aliens, or whatever they are, might, you know, they might have tastes similar to mine. And look, there's an entire city left here that we could loot. If we have this thing behind us, we'll have a lot of power. We'll have a lot of ability to gain knowledge. And we'll have a lot of fun watching people die.
Beautiful.
To 19 plus 6 is 25.
All right. Wow, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Beryl, what do you think?
I've never been a big fan of coercion. I've done my fair share of coercing. But I guess when you're being coerced, you just... the other option is die, so... let's have fun with it, right? Let's be on intergalactic reality TV. No one else has ever offered me that. I didn't know I wanted it until now.
So 8 plus 9 is 17.
Yeah, so you're 17 in the join the DMs. Guys, I think we have a winner.
Yeah.
I actually straight up just assumed you guys would want to be good and not bad.
You haven't played with us before, have you?
No, I love it. I love it.
My ideal is literally, it is each person's responsibility to make the most happiness for the whole tribe. And I think the most happiness is probably not mess.
Ew, it makes perfect sense to me. I just...
my ideal is charity. Yeah.
I think, like, immediately upon hearing the Beryl's speech, Turgid would use Divine Smite and make their weapon a holy weapon for one attack and attack the eyeball to destroy it and, like, then try to storm out of there, furious.
Okay.
Want me to roll that?
Yep.
Should I cast Blindness Deafness on Turgid?
So that's going to be a 16 to hit.
16 hits.
Okay. So I'm going to cast it as a level 3 spell for 4d8 to prove, like, to, you know, make a point.
Badass.
Yeah, sure. You're lighting this fucker up. It's only got 12 hit points, but, like, feel free to literally dissolve it.
You're attacking the camera, right?
That's, yeah, 23 damage. This is a political statement.
You can see it has negative 11 hit points.
Yeah.
What kind of damage is this?
Radiant damage.
All right, so it radiantly destroys from the inside and just puffs into, like, gray smoke, and you destroy this eye before you. And Valna says, Turgid, don't you know? This is the only way. This people across the ether, they're too strong. We must do something. We can't just fight forever. There's nothing. They'll destroy us all.
Valna, these people care nothing for safety in the workplace. Look around you. I will not be subservient to a race of people who think these are okay conditions for others to be in. Look at the absence of guardrails. None of the dead that we have seen were wearing hard hats. Not one. I would rather live on my feet than die on my knees without a back brace trying to lift something heavy. And Turgid storms up the stairs.
Who wants to live?
Turgid, you could have been on the safety committee for the Colosseums. Come on, man, think ahead.
So, this is awkward, guys, but, and then there's a gigantic rumble because that eye has just been killed. Rock is falling from the sky, or from the ceiling of this cavern, and Franz is gonna hold on for dear life in this gigantic roar, and he's gonna be like, look, that guy may have been just a probe, but the roots grow deep, if you know what I mean. They told us if we do not put on a new show, they would cancel Denaria. We cannot have that. So this is a bit awkward, but the show must go on. And then he's going to fire a fireball at Turgid.
The Questies are Eno Accentiev, Andrew Limbong, Grady Olson, Jules, Rowe, and me, Garrett Gardner. New Questies theme by Eno Accentiev. Dungeon mastering, editing, and music by me. Check out Questies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Questies Podcast, and visit our website at questies.cool.